Many years ago, Thomas Friedman, you might recognize his name, the American author and columnist, had a column in the New York Times called The Taxi Driver. He wrote about an interesting taxi ride he had from Charles de Gaulle Airport to Paris. During the one-hour ride, the taxi driver was not only driving the car, but also talking on the phone nonstop, even watching a video on a screen that was to be a GPS. Of course, the taxi driver's behavior made Friedman quite nervous. But he decided to occupy himself with working on a column and listening to his iPod. Reflecting on the nerve-wracking taxi ride later, the columnist wrote, there was only one thing we never did, talk to each other. Actually, what the French taxi driver did over a decade ago is a modern day phenomenon, and that is called continuous partial attention. You might have heard it. It is a term coined two decades ago by Linda Stone, a former Apple and Microsoft executive. It means you are paying attention, but only partially. Stone says on her website that continuous partial attention is a disease of the internet age, and it's different from multitasking. What motivates us to multitask is a desire to be more productive and to be more efficient. In fact, multitasking can be efficient and productive, especially when we do things that are just simple and require very little cognitive processing. Here are some examples. While you clean the house, we women can relate to this. While you clean the house, you can listen to music and dance around. While you file documents in the office, you can answer the phone and eat your lunch. While you study, students in our midst, while you study, you can listen to your favorite music and chit-chat with your friend. One of my clergy friends is called the king of multitasking, and he prides himself in being able to do several things simultaneously. Whenever he is at a meeting, he takes notes, reads and replies to his emails and texts, makes Facebook and Instagram posts, and tweets. He always keeps himself busy because he does not want to waste any minute of his awake time. However, according to Linda Stone, what my friend does is not multitasking, but paying continuous partial attention to many things. Stone says, What motivates us to pay partial attention continuously is a desire to connect and stay connected. Being exposed to a large volume of information and data through fast and easy internet access, with a world continually at our fingertips, we want to scan for the best opportunities, best activities, and contacts in any given moment. We pay continuous partial attention, trying not to miss anything, not to miss anything that is going on out there in the world. Stone says, this state of being always on, everywhere, anywhere, and anytime can be functional in small doses, but in large doses, it creates an artificial sense of constant crisis. Since most of these crises are somewhere else, we are everywhere, except where we actually are physically. As a result, we end up being always on high alert. Think about it. Nowadays, most of us use computers, laptops, tablets, and smartphones, even our watches. For some people, even our watches are smart devices. As long as they are on, we hear, we see notifications of emails and posts on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Skype, YouTube, Tumblr, and Snapchat. Anything else? They ping, they chirp, they whistle. They fly across your screen. They all shout for your attention. Look at me. Someone wants to be your friend. Someone has just posted a new picture. Someone liked your post. Someone commented on your post. This is a great opportunity. You would not want to miss it. And even when they are not on, you wonder who might be trying to get hold of you. Or what's happening in the world now? Or what opportunities you might be missing? So, with a continuous partial attention driven by a fear of missing out, we find ourselves habitually looking at our cell phones all the time. We do it while eating our meals, while talking to our children, while walking our dogs, while visiting with our friends, while meeting with our colleagues, while attending meetings and workshops and conferences, while waiting in line at the store, while waiting for the green light at the traffic stop, and even while we are driving. In fact, holding cell phones has become like a second nature to our hands. As we check the weather, the time, and our schedules on them, we take pictures, good pictures and videos with them. We keep track of our kids and our diets even with them. We do banking with them. We use them for maps and directions. They give us answers to any question we may have. So they go everywhere we go, to work, to school, to church. We even fall asleep with them in our hands. Putting down our cell phone is the last thing we do at night before we close our eyes to sleep. And reaching for it is the first thing we do in the morning when we get up. To be honest, I too have found myself doing these things nowadays. And I am sure I'm not alone. Perhaps this is your confession this morning as well. If you nod your head, you are one of them. Continuous partial attention is dividing our time and hurting our focus. Indeed, it has become a serious social problem of our time. In a world that is more connected than ever before, that is always on 24/7, continuous partial attention contributes to a stressful, very stressful lifestyle. We feel overstimulated and overwhelmed. We are so accessible and inaccessible at the same time. It is truly ironic. In an age where the most powerful technology the world has ever known is at our fingertips, a technology that allows us to stay better connected, more efficient, and more productive than ever before, we feel instead more isolated and excluded. With the ever-growing volume of distractions right in front of our eyes, we find ourselves busier than ever before, yet less efficient and productive in our work. As a result, instead of feeling empowered and fulfilled, we are feeling increasingly powerless and empty. In today's scripture reading, we find another person who was in that state feeling overwhelmed and unfulfilled. Her name is Martha. When Jesus and his disciples came into her town, she welcomed them into her house and began to prepare food for them. She had a sister named Mary, but Mary was in no hurry to come into the kitchen to help her sister. Instead, she sat down at Jesus' feet, at the feet of their friend and guest, and listened to him. Imagine how busy Martha must have been, trying to cook for not only Jesus, how many disciples? 12 disciples, and they all were men. All cooking for 13 men at least, all by herself. She could not have been happy with her sister. She probably banged a few pots and slammed a few plates on the table to see if Mary would get the hint. We have done that too, haven't we? But Mary would not come to help her. Finally, she had enough. She stormed into the room and listened, and instead of talking to her sister, whom did she talk to? She exploded in frustration at Jesus. Do you remember from last Sunday? Remember the leader of the synagogue? The leader of the synagogue from Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17 that we reflected on. This is the way he behaved too. He had an issue with Jesus who healed a woman on the Sabbath. He believed, he knew that was wrong. So he had an issue with Jesus, but instead of talking to Jesus about it, he talked to the congregation, people in the room, and tried to stir up controversy. And here we have Martha doing the same thing. In response, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing." It looks like being distracted by many things, continuous partial attraction, is not only a problem of the internet age, perhaps it has always been with us, and just the causes of our inattention have altered. Martha's problem is our problem, my friends. With continuous partial attention, we have allowed ourselves to be distracted by many things. We have forgotten what is the most important thing in our lives. We have replaced our time of being at the feet of Jesus with looking at the screens of our computers, laptops, tablets, and cell phones. Even with our questions of our faith, We turn to Google instead of God. We have lost our attention and focus on the one thing that we need. There was a time when I was at my first appointment that speaks to this. One Sunday morning, as usual, I was very busy moving quickly to get ready for Sunday school of my church and the worship service. As I was about to open the front door to leave the parsonage, if I just run within even just half a minute, it didn't even take 10 seconds, after I could just reach my church. At that very moment, my husband, who was quietly watching the news on TV, called me. Honey, wait. I turned around and said, what? Of course, I was feeling a bit irritated because I had thought surely he was going to ask me to do something for him. Instead, without saying anything, he came over and gave me a hug. The hug probably took just for a few seconds because he knew that I was in a hurry. But it felt like an eternity, literally felt like an eternity, being lost in the love of my husband. That morning, that precious moment, is something that I will always fondly remember. And that was possible only because I turned off all the distractions just at the very moment and allowed myself to be fully embraced by his arms, even for a very brief moment. Jesus said to Martha, "You are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." And this is true. When our hearts are not divided, when our minds are not on the one thing, when our minds are on the one thing which is, that really matters, we become fully, truly alive to the presence of the kingdom of God that is at hand. It is when we are fully present to this reality that we are truly connected, truly empowered, and truly fulfilled. In their book, First Things First, Stephen Covey and Roger and Rebecca Merrill ask this question. What is the one activity that you know if you did superbly well and consistently would have significant positive results in your personal life? And they repeat the question for one's personal and one's professional and work life. Ask their readers another question. If you know these things, would make such a significant difference, why are you not doing them now? Let me borrow their questions for matters of our faith. What is the one activity that you know, if you did superbly well and consistently, would have significant positive results in your spiritual life? What is your equivalent of spending time at the Master's feet? Is it prayer? Is it your morning devotion? Is it reading the Bible? Is it being in the church? Or is it just going out and just being lost in the woods and enjoying God's creation? If you know, this would make such a significant difference. Why are you not doing it now? May the words of Jesus be a diagnosis for us, which leads us back to the present moment, the place we may encounter the kingdom of God. Let us hear Jesus' words again. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing.